Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me, please. I want to read the first 11 verses there. I want to speak to you on the subject of shining the light for the lost. You know, that's our job. Sometimes we wonder just how to do that. When we try to make our light shine, we can't do that. The Bible doesn't tell us to make our light shine. It tells us to let our light shine. And we want to look at that this morning. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, walking not in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your justification. Thank you for Jesus being our advocate. And Lord, I pray that you would search my heart and remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we look at this passage, I want you to know Jesus wants us to be free to serve him. Jesus wants us to know that we are accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not accepted in our goodness because we have none of that. Our flesh is still just as sinful as it was the day we received Christ as our Savior, but our spirit is renewed day by day. And God wants us to not hinder the shining of our light, but sometimes we hinder the shining of the light that is in us not by the ways we think we hinder it, but by the ways we're not aware that we hinder it. The devil wants us to have confidence in ourselves and not in the Lord. You see, when my confidence is in myself, my light's not shining. But when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You see, it's not my light, it's God's light. And he shines his light through me when I get out of the way. Now, I want you to see, first of all, our ministry. The first two verses here. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, let's listen to that. We have received mercy, so we faint not. You see, we are under God's mercy. He takes care of us. He covers us. He completely overshadows our wickedness by his grace. And so we don't faint because of that. Are we worthy of God? No. Will we ever be worthy of God? No. But we are under his mercy, and we have forgiveness, and we have his protection, and therefore we are without the need to faint. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We live our lives in His grace, and He does in us whatever He sees fit to do. Our ministry is a ministry of availability. Our ministry is a ministry of being available to God and for God's purpose. Sometimes we're object lessons. Sometimes we simply are used for a purpose that we don't even know we have. You know, one time I was working and I needed a punch and I didn't have a punch and I took a screwdriver and I took my grinder and I made a punch out of that screwdriver. You know, I was thinking, that poor old screwdriver was manufactured to be a screwdriver. When I got done with it, it was not a screwdriver anymore. Sometimes those of us who have in our mind what our purpose is, God has to repurpose us. And when He does that, we may think that things are going all wrong, but God knows what He's doing. You see, my job and your job is just to be a tool in God's belt. And whatever He wants to do with us, that's what He does. And if we go with that plan, then God is able to take us and use us to shine the light. But if we try to resist that and we try to make ourselves stay what we want to be, and we try to have the light that's in us be our own light, then we mess up and we put that light under a bushel. You see, the Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21 says. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Understand, the gospel message is not good old saints like us telling poor old lost people how to be saved. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. You see, Jesus did a miracle in us, and we're going to look at that a little later on. But I want you to know the miracle of salvation has nothing to do with the messenger. I had a deacon in a church I pastored one time came up to me and he said, "Brother Allen, I need to be baptized again." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because the guy that baptized me wasn't saved. He later on got saved. And so I don't think my baptism is legitimate." Well, baptism is not legitimized by the person who administers that baptism. It is legitimized by the Lord Jesus Christ who commands us to be baptized. You see, God is the one who does everything in salvation. It's not about us. It's not about what we do. It's about what God does in us. And so as ambassadors, I can tell anybody that they can be saved. As a matter of fact, if Jesus can save one like me, He can save everybody. You see, we are all sinners. I know more about my sinfulness than I do any of the rest of your sinfulness. I know you got it because you got a sinful nature. But I know who I am, and I know Jesus saved me by His grace. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it, but He saved me. And He'll save you if you're lost this morning. He is always ready to save, and He has the power to save. So many people say, "Well, I just don't think I can live up to it." Well, I'm going to tell you, you can't. You will fail miserably trying to live up to what Jesus does in your life to save you. You're going to fail, but Jesus will never fail. Salvation is not about Jesus saying, "Okay, if you'll do this, I'll take you to heaven. If you'll live a certain way, I'll take you to heaven. If you'll never sin again, I'll take you to heaven." It's about putting your trust in what He has already done for you on the cross of Calvary, and He will take you to heaven. I'm going to tell you, that'll work for anybody. If my gospel message that I present to you is if you'll quit sinning and you'll quit gossiping, and you'll quit doing this, and you'll quit doing that, then you can make it to heaven, then we'll all have to go to hell because none of us will ever measure up. But the gospel that Jesus sends is that he will shine the light of the gospel in our hearts and will transform us from the inside out. He will give us new birth, and we don't have to deserve it. We can't earn it. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That's the message. And as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, that's what we have to share with other people. I remember one time somebody was talking about the simple gospel message. And somebody said, well, what about repentance? And what about turning from your sin? And what about putting all that aside so that you can live for Jesus? You can't get saved unless you put all that sin behind you. I beg to differ. If you could put all that sin behind you, if you could quit sinning, you wouldn't need Jesus. That's why we get saved, is to take away our sin. And so we come to Jesus. The gospel is very simple. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus has done it all. He invites us to be saved. He wants to save us. It's not his will that any should perish. And he extends salvation to everyone as a free gift. And he says, if you will call on that name, I'll save you. It's as simple as that. You make it harder than that, you mess it up. Because then you get involved, and everything we get involved with is contaminated. I want you to see that our ministry is automatic. Now, this is important. The Lord just showed this to me this week as I was studying for this sermon, and it blessed my heart, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Listen to what he says in Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. I want you to underline that word are in your mind. You are the light of the world. You can't help that. If you're a Christian, you are the light of the world. It's automatic. It is the default mode for those of you gurus out there who know all about computers and everything. I'm not one, but I understand enough of the lingo to know that there is a default mode. And the default mode for a Christian is to be light. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and he giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now for years and years and years, I saw this bushel as sin. How many of you have seen it that way? That this bushel that we put our light under is sin in our life, that if we get rid of the sin, then the light will shine. But you see, that's not the problem. You know what the problem is? It's human effort. It's taking credit for what God's doing in your life. You go, oh, I'd never do that. Really? When you fail, how does that affect you? When you fall down, do you have to do penance and mully grub for a while before you can accept God's forgiveness and go on? You see, we put part of our trust in our goodness when we do that. And that covers that light up. Because it's Jesus' light that wants to shine through you. You see, somebody said one time, God won't use a dirty vessel. And then he won't use anybody. Because we're all dirty. God uses broken vessels. God wants us to just trust him and be light. You say, but I don't deserve it. You're right, you don't. But trust God to use you in spite of that. You are the light of the world. The devil wants to keep you worried so much about your own performance that you can't let Jesus be Jesus in you. You're not going to get better as a sinner. You're going to always be a sinner. You're going to die as a sinner. And when you die, you're going to quit being a sinner. But as long as you're in this body, you're going to be a sinner. And so the devil can always point that out. You don't deserve to be a light to the world. And you know what you need to say? Amen, you're right, but Jesus does. Jesus in me is the hope of glory. And Jesus can be in you just as easily as he can be in me. He can be in the lost person just as easily as he can be in me. He can be in the homosexual. He can be in all those people if they will come to him confessing their sin and asking forgiveness. There's nobody that Jesus can't save. You see, that's what being the light's all about. It's just being up front. He says, we're not going to twist the word of God. We're not going to browbeat people with the word of God. We're just going to say, look, Jesus saved me. Enough said. He saved me. You know he can save you. Jesus is the Savior of all who call upon his name. And folks, we need to understand that. And just go around and let that light shine. It's shining whether you know it or not. Do you know that? Because you are the light. And this world would be a dark place were it not for you. Your little old world that you live in would be a dark place were it not for you. The family that you're in would be a dark place were it not for you. Let that light shine. Trust Jesus to let that light shine. You say, but I don't know if I can live up to it every day. Well, let me just clear your mind. You can't. Can't do it. But God can. You see what he said there? He that commanded the light to shine out of darkness. The old sinful nature that we have is darkness, but God can make the light shine right out of there. One of the most powerful witnesses you'll ever have is that Jesus saved me. And you see how I am. You see, that's the way Jesus wants to use us. He does not want the devil to have us mullygrubbing all the time. So he gives us authority. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. The Great Commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You see, that's our commission, but that's also our authority. We have the power to present Jesus to anybody, anywhere, and he will save them if they will call upon his name. I'm going to tell you, that is some authority. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to all those that believe. He said, I can tell anybody. I can go to the heathen, the ones that worship false gods. I can go to anybody, and if they will just repent and call on the name of the Lord, turn from their way to his way, he'll save them. You say, well, I don't believe they deserve to be saved. Neither do you. Neither do you. You see, folks, Jesus came into the world to save us sinners. That's a wonderful truth. If Jesus only came to save righteous people, we'd all be in trouble. Because we ain't none of them. But when he came to save sinners, that includes me. And that includes you. And that includes every sinner in the world. Look at what he does to lost people to try to keep them lost. He keeps telling them, you don't deserve to be saved. You can't live up to this. You are too wicked for this. Why would he stop doing that after you get saved? He still does the same thing. You can't be the light of the world. You're too wicked. You mess up too much. You fall too much. Jesus can't use you. So we say, you're right, he can't. And so we go mullygrubbing. But you see, what Jesus wants us to do is not preach ourselves. You can be like me and go to hell. What you want to do is preach Jesus. You preach Jesus, they will not find a fault in him. They can find a fault in me. They can find a fault in you. They can't find a fault in Jesus. He's the Savior. He does all things well. Well, let's look at our message. We understand that this ministry
has a message.
What is that message? Look what he says. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, notice what he says here. You ever wondered why God blinded the Israelites so that they wouldn't understand the gospel? Well, this tells us they rejected the light when it was given. That brings blindness. And so here we have the situation in the world. The reason your neighbor doesn't want to hear about Jesus is because the devil's blinded their eyes. The blindness goes something like this. You're either going to have to live holy or you're going to have to go to hell. You don't live good enough to get to heaven, so why worry about it? You're just going to be one of those that don't ever get saved. You're just a wicked person. You can't deserve salvation. You can't live up to salvation. They're blinded to the light. So the light comes and it dispels the darkness and it worries them. And that's a real problem. You see, the darkness is very real. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen to this next verse. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's his purpose. That's why he came. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There is salvation in a nutshell. We have to believe in Jesus Christ. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. When darkness is in the world and it is overwhelming people, and all that darkness is there, the reason they love the darkness is not just for the sinfulness of the darkness, it's because it hides their evil deeds. Understand that. It will help you to relate to lost people. The reason they love the darkness is the same reason that Adam hid himself from God when he had sinned in the Garden of Eden. It's because the bushes hid him from God so that God would not condemn him. That is the reason that the lost people love the darkness, because the darkness covers their sinfulness and they are not exposed before a holy God. And our job is to bring that light. What did Jesus do? He didn't let old Adam get by with hiding in the bushes. He came and said, Adam, where are you? Why are you hiding in the bushes? See, that's our job. When we go into the world, the world is not our enemy. The world is just full of friends that we haven't made yet. And they are out there just waiting for the light to shine. They're hiding in the darkness because their deeds are evil, and they know their deeds are evil, and they know that when they get into the light, all of their wickedness is going to be exposed, and they've tried to do something about that wickedness, and they know that they can't, and so they just choose to hide in the darkness. It's my job and your job to show them the light. And that light is that Jesus saves wicked sinners. Oh, what a wonderful truth that is. It is not a gospel of the Lord wants you to quit sinning. And good luck with that. It is the gospel of Jesus knows that you're a sinner. There's not a thing you can do about it. It's just in your DNA to be a wicked sinner. And he wants to save you. He died on the cross to forgive every sin that you will ever commit. And he says, I will save you if you'll put your trust in me. Oh, listen, that's good news. Let your light shine. That men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, deception sets in the darkness. I want you to listen to this. This may be a little hard to understand, but it's a powerful passage. John 9:39 through 41. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, We see. Therefore your sin remains. Well, that's powerful. You see, it's all about the concept. What he's saying is this. I have come to do something about your sinfulness. But whenever your attitude is, I got this. I'm living a good life. There's more good in my life than there is bad. Yes, there's a little bad, but I'm dealing with that. And after I keep on practicing, I'm going to get where that sin doesn't bother me anymore. He said, your sin remains. But if you ever realize, I'm not going to make it like this. I can't do this. I'm blind. Why does he use blindness? Because of the darkness. You see, he's saying there's deception here. And the deception is this. Here in the darkness, the devil can wear you out with deception. And he can say to you, you're not ever going to make it if you don't try hard. Just keep trying. Keep trying. You say, would the devil want you to try to quit sinning? He sure does. Because as long as he can keep you trying to quit sinning, you won't turn to Jesus. But when you exhaust all of your human effort, then you come to the Lord and you say, here I am in the darkness. I can't see my way out. Have mercy on me. Boy, he loves to hear that. And he just saves like that. You see, that's the message. That's what we are to share. It is a message of deliverance. Listen to what he says here, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I want you to know something this morning. If you have Jesus, you have righteousness. Oh, but I don't look like that. Yes, you do, to God. You see, righteousness is a gift, just like salvation. He said, but my life doesn't bear it out. That's God's job. Listen to me. You will never change in your flesh until the Holy Spirit and the grace of God overcomes your sinfulness. You can't fix it. That's God's job. The Bible says we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God says, I take full responsibility for your flesh. That's a pretty good deal. I take full responsibility. You say, but wait a minute. I go off and I do these sins. You know what Jesus does? He puts roadblocks in front of you. Hit a roadblock lately? And that roadblock is there to turn you back to Him. And on and on and on, He just keeps turning us back to Him. See, it's His job. If I focus on what I have to do to let my light shine, then I've got my eyes off of Jesus. I have to understand, I was a sinner when I got into this, and I'll be a sinner when I leave. Jesus is the answer, not me. You see what he said? We don't preach ourselves. What am I going to say? Here's what you got to do. You got to live just like I do, and I'll give you a set of rules. You do these things, and you'll get into heaven. That'll send you straight to hell if you're lost. What I've got to do is point you to Jesus. You see, Jesus is the reason I'm going to heaven, and he's the reason you can go. Not me. If it's about me, I'm going to hell. You see, when I stand before the Lord, my sinful flesh is going to be way behind. Six of my friends are going to be carrying me down the center aisle of the church by the handles while I'm up in heaven clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ with no sin whatsoever following me up there, praise God. Jesus is the answer. He is able to take a sinner in any condition and save them. He is able to take any saved sinner in any condition and use them if we trust Him. The Bible says we are His building. We are His house if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing firm unto the end. Rejoicing in the fact that Jesus is our salvation, that Jesus is our life, Jesus is our righteousness, and He can take an old sinner like me and use me to shine the light to the lost. That's your message. It's a message of deliverance. Jesus was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now let's look at our miracle. I told you we was going to look at this. Look at the miracle that has happened in us. Verse 6 through 11. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what happened to you when you put your trust in Jesus. You see, that darkness was dispelled by the light of Jesus Christ. And He is in you, shining every day. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Notice He didn't say anything about breaking that earthen vessel so you can see better. He didn't say that earthen vessel is in the way. You got to straighten that earthen vessel up so that the light can shine. He said, no, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel so the excellency of the power might be of God, not of us. You see, if my old earthen vessel gets to looking too good, I might start preaching me. So God keeps me humble so that the only one I can preach is Jesus, because He's the only one that's worthy. And we have this earthen vessel for that purpose. You say, why didn't God make me perfect when He saved me? Wouldn't that have been fun? But God had a purpose. You see, if He makes a distinction, let's suppose that everybody that gets saved all of a sudden is sinless and glows in the dark. You know what the message is going to be? If you want to go to heaven, you got to be sinless and glow in the dark. And nobody can do that. But because we're all still sinners, lost people can say, you know, if that person's going to go to heaven, I might can do it. I might be able to get saved. Because, listen, if God can save that person, I know that person. They're wicked in the flesh. Now, I'm not advocating being wicked. I'm just saying you are. You see, what we want to do with that wickedness is let God's grace overcome it so that we don't show that side of us to the world. But in spite of all our efforts to stay under the grace of God, every once in a while it gets out, amen? That doesn't disqualify us. Now I want to let you in on a little something. When Jesus looks down from heaven, He doesn't see all of the flaming glory that you have because you've gone 30 days without saying a bad word, or you've went a month without having a drink, or whatever accomplishment you may be doing. You know what He sees? He sees that wicked, sinful nature that His grace is covering up. You don't see that. I don't see that. But God knows why you are what you are. It's the grace of God, and that's it. Because you take the grace off any one of us and we'll self-destruct. And so God gives us this treasure in an earthen vessel, so the whole time we have to say, boy, I'll tell you what, every moment of my life I'm dependent on Jesus, because I'd crash and burn if He turned me loose. You know that today. One of the most powerful things for letting your light shine is understanding that right there. If God took His grace off your life, you would self-destruct. That's how wicked our sinful nature is. But the truth is, God uses that truth to set other people free. Because they too are a train wreck. They need Jesus. And the miracle that has worked in us will work for them. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, did you get that? He says, we go through all these troubles. There's a lot of troubles in the Christian life, amen? Troubles everywhere, troubles of every kind. But through every one of them, Jesus holds us up. I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow, but you know what? I know Jesus will be able to handle it. I can't handle anything. Left to my own, it would just crush me, some of the things that we have to face. But I know Jesus can handle it. He can handle anything. You see, our confidence is not in us, but it's in Christ. And so through that, we always bear in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus so that his power can also show through us. You ever asked anybody, how do you go through stuff? How do you manage to go through the sickness or the loss or whatever? How do you do that? The answer is always the same. It's Jesus. That's it. It's only Jesus. And so that is the reason that we are completely a miracle. Because Jesus in us is our hope of glory. The privilege that we have to shine for Jesus is a gift. Listen to this. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let's talk about walking in the light. What does that mean? Does that mean that if you walk in the light, you never sin? Well, if that was the case, why would Jesus cleanse you from all sin? You see, walking in the light is keeping God's standard as the standard for your life. That's the plumb line. Whatever God says is wrong is wrong. And whenever you agree with that, even though you may fall, even though you may sin, that light will cause you to come back to Christ and say, I have sinned. Please forgive me. Or it'll make you run and hide in the darkness. And the darkness is to reject the truth and begin to try to make something seem like it is right when it's wrong. The Lord condemns a group of people in the Bible who call right wrong and good bad. You see, that's to walk in the darkness. But walking in the light's when we call sin, sin. When we say what Jesus says is wrong, it's wrong, even if it's me that's doing it. Even if it's you that's doing it, it's still wrong. You see, that's walking in the light. And if we walk in the light, what we're going to do is we're going to run and we're going to confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then we can walk in fellowship with him until we fall again and we don't run and hide in the darkness. We run back to Jesus and we say, Lord, I've sinned again. Please forgive me. And he will. You see, that's the way we shine. And it's a privilege. You can't keep yourself from sin, but you can keep yourself shining. Every time you sin, run to Jesus and let him clean you up. And we have power to shine. Listen to this. Matthew 13, 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, I don't really understand about leaven, but I understand about yeast. Pam used to make yeast bread, and she would mix this yeast up in this bread somehow or other, and then she would put it under a cloth on the counter. Now, I'd go in there and peek at it every little bit. It started out a little bitty. And you could go in there and you could look in there and it just steady growing. Always fascinated me how that works. And it would just keep growing and she'd catch me in there. She'd holler at me and I'd put that thing down. But that yeast bread would just grow and grow and grow. So I understand what he's talking about here. But how does that apply to the kingdom of heaven? Well, you see, as you live your life and as your light shines, you may not realize what effect you're having on the people around you. It may never occur to you that the people on your job who are making fun of you and telling nasty jokes to try to make you have a reaction and all those things that's going on, you don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing in their heart. Little by little, God's using you to shine that light. Little by little, it will permeate. I remember when I was working as a meat cutter, there was one man in particular that just was so anti-Christian. It wasn't enough that I was a Christian and that's all there is to it. He was constantly trying to somehow pull me down. He told dirty jokes. He cussed every chance he got. He went on and on and on all the time. And I would tell him, his name was Henry. I say, Henry, I'm praying for you. And one day, after about a year of this, the Lord told me that I was interfering with Henry. And I needed to not keep witnessing to him. And I thought, well, that seems strange, but I'll do that. So we were working along there, and I hadn't said anything to Henry for a while. And he said, Preacher, are you praying for me? I said, No, Henry, I'm not. He said, Why not? I said, Because the Lord has told me that you have a right to go to hell if you want to. I can't force you into heaven. So I'm not praying for you anymore. He stopped the saw. He come over there. He said, I can't believe you're not praying for me anymore. What kind of Christianity is that? I said, Henry, if you want to know how to get saved, you can just ask me anytime. And I'll tell you how to be saved. But God has told me to leave you alone. Well, he got mad. And he began to cut meat like he was a crazy man. And every time he'd come to the end of a shoulder or something, he'd come around there and he'd say, I just can't believe you're not praying for me anymore. Just kept saying that. Well, we got put on different shifts. And one day I came into work as he was leaving. And he said, and you have to remember, this guy had cut off every finger he had at least once, and most of them twice, and they were sewed on crooked and everything. And some of the guys used to tease him. They'd say, I can count to 10 without taking my shoes off. You know, you got to say 1, 1.5, 1.75, 2. And so he did this pretty regular. So he come down the aisle. He said, Guess what happened to me? I said, You sawed off another finger. He said, No, I got saved. I said, You're kidding. How'd that happen? He said, Well, I was reading one of those pamphlets that you gave me back when you used to pray for me. And he said, The Lord showed me how to be saved. You see, don't react to your coworker's reaction, because they may be getting a whole lot more than you think they're getting. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ shines through us whether we like it or not. But the most important thing is in 2 Corinthians 4, 5, we have a person to shine. It's not about us, folks. Listen to what he says. For we preach not ourselves, Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. You see there, whenever we preach Jesus, He can save anybody, anywhere, anytime. It's not His will that any should perish. You may be here this morning and you've never put your trust in Jesus. It may be because you don't think you can live up to it, and you're right, you can't. It may be because you're ashamed. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. He's the God of the universe. Why would you be ashamed of Jesus? So I don't want to put myself up in front of everybody. I don't want to let everybody laugh at me. I want to tell you, you're among friends here. If you receive Christ as your Savior, you may hear some shouting, but nobody's going to make fun of you. If you'll put your trust in Jesus, He'll save you. And He will shine His light in your heart and dispel the darkness. So if you're not a Christian, as soon as the music starts, come down here to the front. Let me show you from God's Word how to be saved. Let's get this taken care of. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, if you need to come and pray, you come and pray. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, let Him have His way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy and Your goodness to us. Lord, I pray for the one that's lost this morning, that You would save them by Your grace. Lord, I pray that You would take Your word and apply it. It's not my word, Lord, it's Your word. Apply it to hearts this morning. Lord, I pray for the Christians that are here this morning that You would take this word and free us from all of the bondage that the devil tries to put us in because of our sinful flesh. The Lord, cause us to be able to let Your light shine through us because we have confidence in You. And let us hold that confidence firm to the end, knowing that we are always an earthen vessel. In Jesus' name we pray.